If you would open your Bibles with me this morning in Matthew chapter 9. We're going to look at two verses here, Matthew 9, verse 36. In front of you, this in your pool, in the pews here, you see this little booklet here. It's Grace Baptist Church Faith Promise Missions Conference, Seed, Time, and Harvest, and it gives a date. If you want to look inside of it, it gives some information about the missionaries and the countries, and then it's going to have some courses we'll sing. But I just want to tell let y'all know Michelle worked hard on this, and she spent some hours in putting this stuff together. And she's my wife, but I kind of want to brag on her a little bit that she did a good job, and I appreciate it. And of course, I had to fix a lot of these errors for you. But she did a real good job, and I appreciate it. But I just want y'all to know that behind the scene, there's a lot of people working behind the things that you just, you know, it seems simple, but people are involved in doing it. I just want to tell you guys thank you. And they, you know, I don't really brag on my wife too much. Just the fact that she's my wife. Now, she was a secretary, mine would be different, but I just didn't want to, you know, just people get the wrong idea. But I want to say thank you for a lot of work you do behind the scenes. This all stands in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. We're going to look at a couple of verses here, then we'll pray, and then we'll get to the service. Verse 36 of Matthew chapter 9, it says, "But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, and as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Let's pray. Father, we come this morning, Lord, and look at some truths, Lord, that we do need to understand the grasp and the importance of souls, Lord. And Father, maybe someone this morning here, Lord, is not saved, and maybe they're been in church all their life, or whatever situation we trust and hold on to, Father, that I understand I did the same, and yet you showed me truth and you convicted me, Lord, and I thank you for that, Father. Lord, thank you for helping me see that I needed you, Lord, and you helped me see that I need to trust in the blood and not the prayer. And God, I thank you that salvation is so simple. But Father, this morning, if someone is not sure of their salvation, Lord, I do pray that they'll see the importance. But Father, the Christians, the believers, have been washed by the blood. God, I pray that they'll see the importance of the passion for souls that you had, Father, but the harvest is truly as plenteous, and no one is going, Father. Now, God, help us to burn our hearts this morning, and help us look at some truths, and Lord, and Lord, as I preach, Lord, give me the utterance and hide me behind the cross, Lord, that they hear from you, Lord, and speak to our hearts. Now, Lord, we do love you. We thank you for loving us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this sermon, I want to talk to you about passion for souls this morning. And it's not dealing with your loss and your it's kind of, I guess, more to the believers. And yet, Word of God, it really affects, you know, the Spirit of God will challenge anybody. I can talk about tithe and God can convict you about salvation. I can talk about salvation and God can convict you about tithes. I mean, God is just a good God and He works in the hearts of men. But, you know, the Bible is filled with a lot of meaning. It's a lot of blessings. There's a lot of truths in the Bible that is really a powerful, it affects and it challenges you. But yet there's some passages that are very disturbing in the Bible. Really are very disturbing. In Psalms 142, verse 4, the end of it says, No man cared for my soul. No man cared for my soul. And I wonder how many people that could say that no one cares for their soul. That bothers me. It really does. Think about that. Can you imagine somebody out there that said, no one cared for me, or my next door neighbor, and he felt like nobody cared for my soul. Is it safe to say that probably millions, maybe possibly billions of people could say this morning that no one cares for their soul? Because no one is praying for them. No one is really going and telling them. No one is really living a Christian life before them and exemplary, trying to show them that He's the only way. Sadly, there really are Christians today in the society that you work with. We know that, listen, they may be heaven bound. They could be hell proof, or they could be saved, but they just don't have care for the souls of man around them. It's just kind of about their focus on themselves. Now, I talk about going golfing or fishing. I ain't talking about you. I know you like golfing. I know Brother Danny fishes all the time. That's not what I'm taking on those specific. I'm just saying that those things are a priority in our life. But the thing is that no one, the people are lost, and does anybody care about the lost? Now, Jesus Christ, in this verse, we see the contrast of him, that he had passion. That, listen, it brought him from glory to earth for mankind. It motivated him every step he made. Luke chapter 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came not to see, Son of Man came to seek and to save which was lost." He moved from one area. He was here in one area, then he went to another place and he was seeking to save that really was lost. Mark chapter 10 verse 45, it tells us, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto that he deserves." Listen, when he came here, we should bow to him and worship him and do whatever he needs and he bids, we should be. But he didn't come to be ministered unto, but he came to minister to, it says, to minister and give his life for a ransom for many. That's what he came for. And one day he will come back and listen, he's not going to be ministered. He's going to be ruling and reigning. He's the great God. He's the I Am. And he's the everlasting God. He's the great, mighty, almighty God. Listen, but he's coming. He will do. But this is what he came for. It was his passion for souls that moved him to that old rugged cross. We sing about the cross and we sing about how he died. It moved him. That's why it moved him to go to that cross and be willing to die for you and me. He died for the ones in this community and died for the people. He died for that lady that got her face all wrapped up and we worry about Muslim and blowing things. He died for them just as much as he died for me and you. The thing is that he gave his life, and we know that he committed, the Bible says he committed his love towards us while we're yet sinners. He proved it. He showed it. Listen, he loved me. I love him because he first loved me. His passion and love, and he looked through eternity and he saw me. And I look at my life and who I am, and he cares for me. And I look at the Word of God and I read the Word of God. I see him on the cross and I can see him thinking about me because he really was thinking about me. That's my God. He loved me. He moved him to die. If nobody accepted, he died for me. And as he looked in this passage here, he looks out and he saw the multitude. Listen, he looked down and all these people were followed him because of miracles and what was taking place. But he saw and looked at them. He saw their helplessness. He saw their hopelessness. He saw their hurting in the knees and that. You know, when I looked out and I saw the people in the game this Friday, and I didn't really, but as I look back and I think about all those different people, there's a lot of hurting people out there. They may be fine. And there's a lot of people went to beer joints and all this stuff and they're hurting. And this, and mom and daddies are hurting. There's all kinds of people hurting everywhere. I go door knocking. If you don't believe me, go with me on Saturday and I can show you hundreds of hurting people. And he looked out and he saw the world and he saw man that way. He says, listen, he looked out and he said he was moved with compassion. Listen, he saw four elements that caused him to be moved with his compassion. Listen, this four elements I want to talk to you this morning is about the departure from God. Listen, it was the depravity, man. He saw the depravity in their sin. He saw the destiny was in hell. So he saw this. He looked at it and he looks at these people. He saw that their destiny was hell. He saw the despair without a shepherd. Listen, he looks out and yet he wants us to see the same. He wants us to see the same four elements that it motivate our hearts as it motivated him. That's what he's trying to tell them. He's trying to tell us. Listen, he had passion for souls. Do we have that passion? Do we look out and the people maybe you work with, does it burn your heart? Is it heavy to those? Listen, he saw. Number one, Jesus saw the departure from God. Verse 36, it says, "But when he saw the multitude, he said he was moved with compassion because they fainted." And it says, "And they were scattered abroad." They were scattered abroad. They were a departure from God. They were outside of the fold. There was no company. There was no fellowship. They were away from the fold. Listen, away from the fold, they were away from the shepherd. And away from the shepherd, they had no protection. They had no guidance. Listen, they were away from him. And then they're away from home. They didn't have a home, a place of comfort and rest. You know how the days you go to work and you're tired and exhausted. And some days you just want to get away from everything and just sit at home and relax in safety of all the chaotic. That's why if home is bad and the wife and husband, they find it, it's kind of, where do you go? Where do you go? That's why it's important about a husband and wife working together. That's why it's important the family praying together and committed. Because that's the safety. Then he saw these people away from God. They were a departure from God. They're separate. They're apart from where they ought to have been. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12 says that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Listen, he said, do you remember when you were the aliens? You were strangers of the citizenship of God. He said, you were strangers of the promises of God. You had no hope. He says you're apart from God. He saw they had no hope without Him. He looked through mankind. He saw there's no hope. Listen, that passion. Do you look out and say the people I work with, the people I'm around, they really do have no hope. They have departed from God. You got to see it. We need to understand the world is away from God, and everyone is doesn't have a right relationship with Him. Not everyone says they're saved. They really are saved. Not everyone said they're okay or okay. There really are people hurting and really are deceived by Satan in the lives of this false religion. Many will miss church for a dumb game, for a bunch of men rubbing against each other. They'll miss time with God to eat, the bellies, to fill their appetite. And yet they're never satisfied. In Luke chapter 15, we see the story in verse 3 about the parable of the lost sheep. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Listen, is the valuable? You see something worth it, he said he'll take off. In verse 5, it says, when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. He's rejoicing. He found that he's searching for, and he found it. He saw a need. He looks out. Then verse 6, it says, when he cometh home, he calleth together to his friends and neighbors and saying unto them, rejoice with me. For I found my sheep, which was lost. And I think about going soul winning. And we go, and Brother Jack went out not too long ago, and he found somebody that was lost. And if you please, he put him on his shoulders and rejoiced. I found one. And there was a rejoicing and excited. And it's fun. I've always liked to leap into the Lord. But I want to tell somebody what God had done. It's exciting. Sometimes it's sad because nobody cares. Oh, good. Oh, that's good. Do you see what's on football? Do you see that racetrack? They're going in circles and circles. Do you see what so-and-so did? We'll talk about that. Listen, he was rejoicing. And Jesus says, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Listen, he had passion for souls. Listen, he saw people were departing from God. And listen, they need a witness. And listen, that good shepherd will seek and save which was lost. Listen, folks, we need to see that people that have that passion and that element that he has, and we need the same thing to see that people are departed from God. Look at verse 36 in Matthew chapter 9. It says, and when they saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Then he says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Listen, they were not, they're physically fainted. They were the depravity and sin. He intended a deeper meaning that they're just going physically tired and exhausted and quit. He said there was a deeper meaning here. He had compassion because they were lost. They had a burden of sin upon them, so heavy upon them. He looked at them and he said, they can't do it. They can't bear their own life. And he said, if I don't do something, and he's trying to say they're supposed, he came from glory, from heaven. I mean, he loved us so much. He said, I'll become sin. And I don't think we really grasp the understanding, the depth of being sin, because we were born in sin. We love sin, do we not? He said, no, me. But you know, then why we go to our little pet sins all the time? Listen, he had no sin. He hated sin. He said, I'll be sin for you. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, it says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses. You know, it's powerful. He had quit. He is that made alive. It ain't that your works of righteousness, it's that your deeds of laws or the thing you've done to justify. You know, He made you alive, that who were dead in trespasses and sin. It says, when in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. This is what we were doing. And the Spirit now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh, and the mind, and said that we're nature, the children of wrath, even as others. Listen, he saw our depravity. This is what we were doing. This is what they are. Psalms 38 verse 4 tells us that my iniquities are gone over my head. And they're a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. I think about when I lost and how I just couldn't get over certain things and the things in my life. It was so embarrassing. I couldn't do it. Best I could ever be, I'd never be good enough. I tried to live right. I tried to do good. But I couldn't. It's over my head. It's too burdensome. And he looks at it and he says, there's nothing they could do. I mean, we know we saw in Sunday school, do we believe that people are lost? Oh, yes. Why? Because all sinned. Yes, all really has sinned. All are guilty before God. None seeks after God. That's what we are. And he looks out, and in all those people and all these nations we look at, and he looks and he says, they don't have me. They have nothing. They're heavy. Their sins are heavy. Listen, we're surrounded with people that really are capable to almost do absolutely anything we can imagine. You work with it. People, we don't have no idea what people can really do, and we don't know how bad we could do if we were not saved. You think of David and Bathsheba. David was a man that did great things, but commit fornication. Then he tried to lie and deceive it and deceive a man and saying that it was his baby, try to make it where he thinks it's his. Then that didn't work, so he didn't fix it, so he's going to do another way and kill the man. We think of Peter, where he denies Jesus Christ. Not once, not twice, but three times. We think about Judas. We always think about how bad he was. He just betrayed him once. You say, not me, preacher. I wouldn't do nothing like that. The Bible says, beware. Wherefore, it says, wherefore him that thinketh to he stand, take heed lest he fall. Be careful. The depravity of sin is out there that men are doing things. He looked at man and he said he had compassion on them. His passion moved him for them to do the unspeakable things. The things that me and you have done. That to us may not be bad, but to him it's righteous. It is. Our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. And I think about these things. The man's depravity needs to be reached. Listen, he had compassion. But listen, we need a compassionate soul winner to go out. Listen, that's the need. Listen, I'm telling you, the elements he saw as man departed from God, and he saw their depravity and their sin. The third thing is he saw their destiny. He saw their destiny in hell. He saw where they would go for eternity. After a billion times a billion times a billion, it's like the first day. You know, God can see the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46 verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Not yet done, he's declared. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Listen, he knows them that are apart from him. He knows them that are going to be going to hell. He looked out amongst the people and he saw their destiny. He saw that rich man that went to hell. It's not a parable, but he saw that rich man. He saw that rich man begging for one drop of water. No wonder it moved him. No wonder it compelled him. No wonder he says something must be done for you. He doesn't want no man to go to hell. He had desired all men to be saved and come to knowledge of Him. But the Bible says without a vision, people perish. What's your vision? Do you have a vision that people get saved? Do you have a desire that people get saved? If you really believe in hell, then why aren't you telling more people about Him? Why aren't you really searching for those truths? To tell someone. Think about the man in Luke in 16, talking about the man in hell. And what was his plea? Somebody go tell his five brethren. not to come to this horrible place of torment. Not just darkness, but a torment. And he says, remember he replies and says, they have Moses and his rotten prophets. But if somebody would raise from the grave, they'll believe. And he said, no, if you don't believe this, they won't even believe that Jesus Christ raised from the grave. Folks, hell is crying out. He saw him. He saw the man that died today. A man that died today is in eternity in hell. He saw the woman that lived maybe 70 years and died today. And she didn't turn into hell because she chose no. Could she say, or he say, that no one really cared for their soul? Could he say that Zachary Grace Baptist Church didn't ever come to knocking on my door? How many people really are knocking on your door and say when you come to my church, but the more important, not just to my church, are you saved? Are you being washed by the blood? Listen, his passion, I'm just trying to be not preachy. I just want you to think and ponder on these truths that it moved him. And he wants us to see these same principles. Listen, we look around people around us and are they dying? Are they going to hell? You go to a restaurant and you eat and all that. But you ever think about these people? Are they going to heaven? Are they really lost? How about the waitress or the waiter? They come to you and they're very nice and kind and they take care of you. And you give them a good tip because they're good and they're sweet and kind. But are they saved? The question is, will you go without telling nobody? Will you live your life without trying to tell nobody? Ezekiel 33 verse 8 says, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. God will say, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. Depart from me, your work of iniquity, for I never knew you. But he'll say, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, thou wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require in thy hand. See, he saw the destiny and he said, look, I'm going to hold you accountable. You saw what I've done for you. You saw the truth. The thing is, Jesus saw the departure from God. He saw the depravity of sin. He saw the destiny in hell, but he saw the despair without a shepherd. Without a shepherd, man is not blessed. Listen, we have a church we come to. We have need. We got Brother Hall or Miss Sue sick with us in comfort. We can pray for one another and encourage one another. This is a friendship, a peace, a place of satisfaction, a place of rest. And listen, we have, but the world does not have it. Listen, the hearts are broken. People in the world are hurting, especially where around us. But are we trying to tell people what he did for us and how great things and who he is? And he's Almighty God that he does hear and he does care and he does love. But verse 37, 38, we see Jesus tells his disciples to make a difference. And even three responsibilities that are on mine, your shoulders is. Verse 37 says, he saith unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. You know what he wants you to visualize? The first thing he wants you to visualize is that see his harvest. You know, look into the harvest. The harvest is there. It's not waiting to see if it will bloom. It's there. It's waiting. He recognized that millions of people are on the edge and they're on the way to hell if we don't go tell them. We must see that the harvest is waiting to be gleaned. It's just waiting. But if the field is there, but it will do no good if we do not enter the field. I think about Ruth. And listen, she had a field. She had Boaz to come to it, but it would done her no good. And she stayed at home. She cannot glean at home. We cannot win a soul if we don't ask and talk and share the gospel. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not for me, is it? That's not for us. It's for those. Them. Oh, it's for us. Listen, not just to visualize, agonize. Pray therefore. You know, he's saying, this is what he said. The harvest truly plenteous, the laborers few. Pray ye therefore. Agonize, beg God, get a hold of God, call on God. Listen, be broken. Listen, have a burden for the soul, desire straight. Listen, the lost are lost. Are we constantly trying to pray for lost? Are we really seeking? Are we really praying for the Lord of the harvest? Lord, please help someone. Pray. We pray for our visitors. We pray for people to get saved. Are you really praying? Are you really agonizing? You know, I say, hey, so-and-so in your family or close to you love, and you do pray. I pray, imagine you pray for them every day and beg God, save so-and-so. I want you to work in their life. And I remember praying for my brother, and God, save him and help me. If I can't reach him, send somebody. Do something, God. Save his soul. How about this trailer park down here? Has anybody reburdened over them? These kids riding their bicycles and playing. We had to take the hose off, the little thing off the hose, so they wouldn't play. I would never tell them not to play on the swing set. This is a place they want to play. Then I go out there and talk to them about Jesus Christ. Folks, we've got to see what He sees. It's nothing new, is it? What's new about it is the burden, the passion, the love that He loved. You got to go back to where He saved you. You got to go back where He changed your life. How unworthy you were. And He loved you. And He says, now my darling, go tell them what I've done for you. I changed you. I want you to tell them I can change them. There's a destiny. It's a place of torment. But He says, I want you to agonize and pray. Look at evangelize. Listen, go and send forth laborers into the Lord. Listen, we see there's a need and there's a pray for the lost and a concern for soul. But this would be a desire to work in the harvest. We desire to go and work. I don't know what to do. I remember many, many times I didn't know what to do. And this time I didn't want to go. Stay home. It's too hot, too tired or whatever. I didn't want to go. But God always blessed. He always honors. Yesterday I went. I was hot and sweaty. I love my girls and they're complaining. It's hot. It's hot. Listen, and I felt the cool breeze God blew on us. And it felt good. And He was like telling me, don't worry, I'll take care of him. He's always a good God, but all He's trying to do is win. I didn't win nobody to Jesus Christ. But I was putting a smile on His face because I love Him and being obedient. The more I see it, I need that more of a passion. Say, what's the point of this message, preacher? The point is, the message is this. The preacher needs more of a passion for souls. The preacher needs to love souls like Jesus loves. The preacher needs to agonize for souls, men. The preacher needs to cry out for God and say, God, break my heart. Preacher needs to see the souls of men walks around every day dying and going to the devil's hell. Preacher needs to see this. It ain't for you. It's for me. Or is it? Ask the Spirit of God and say, is this for me? If it's for you and God is speaking to you, what are you going to do with it? Soul winning is important. Missions is important. Prayer meeting is important. I love watching the ladies come out. They come out in a small room and there's a bucket full of them. I ask the ladies the prayer meeting. Y'all pray for souls to come. You pray that visitors will come. You pray that souls will get saved. We pray the waters will be stirred. Pray lives will change. Pray that we get a bus ministry. Pray for the ministry of this church. Pray. Get a hold of God. God will hear your faithfulness and your prayers. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that Holy Ghost upon you. Andrew portrayed a burdened Christian. For time's sake, I won't go to the verses, but Andrew went and got Peter and says, come and see, we found the Messiah. He saw the Messiah and he got around and he said, come, Simon, we found the Messiah. Peter's the one that in John chapter 6, when they was feeding the food and they didn't have enough, he says he found the lad that's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Andrew's the one that done that. Andrew's the one that says, they bring me the Greek man and they was asking, I forgot who it was, and they come to Andrew and Andrew brought the Greek man to Jesus. He's always bringing somebody to Jesus Christ. Look at the word Andrew and search him. He's always searching. He's always bringing people to Jesus Christ. He had a concern for souls and he said, this is the way to go. I don't know the answers, but hey, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You can do something with it. Here's my brother. Here's a Greek man that's not a Jew and he's a dog. Can you do something with him? Come and see the Messiah. What are we doing to get men out of hell? And are we having any success? My say to you is this. If you're not getting success, get on your knees and start asking God to help you and help that person get saved with you or without you, but somebody help that person. I don't have the golden buzzer to say this prayer or you do this. I just tell them about Jesus Christ, what He did for me and what He could do for you. And I'm trying to be honest and real, just as I'm trying to be honest and real with you. You say, "Preacher, I'm saved." Praise the Lord. I'm asking you to get a burden and see the passion He has and say, "God, if I don't have that passion, give me that passion. Help me see as You see. Burden my heart. Break my heart. Move me. This old heart is hard. Break it. Soften it. So I can see as You see. I'll be willing to move from this place to go wherever You have me to go for You, O Lord. Because I love You." Amen. Let's all stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.